Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specing, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. If you're listening online, you want to join us live on the call, there are still some lines open. You can dial us up and join us right now and listen on your phone, 347-884-8327. If you're on that call and you want to join us with a question, a comment, a topic, your opinion, whatever it might be, just press 1 and Lisa will screen your call and we'll get to those. There are no questions as of right now, so if you want to jump in, press 1 on your phone and join us. Otherwise, you're just going to have to listen to me for the rest of the night. I just got done doing a webinar, so if you are on the webinar and you happen to have any questions, I know I always talk long when I do those kind of things. If you had any questions and we weren't able to get to the questions on the webinar, it was all about getting your own authority and that kind of thing. Feel free to carry over from that and ask the same question you were going to ask there. Ask it here. Just press 1 on your phone at any time and Lisa will get to those. The number to join us again on your phone, 347-884-8327. I am going to start off like I do every Wednesday night going over the freight indexes, the market demand index, what's going on with rates and volumes and things like that. The market demand index is up again. This is, I don't even know how many weeks now. I think I've lost track of how many weeks. We've been on our way up since the beginning of February. Now, we're only up a little bit, so that's probably an indication we are going to peak somewhat. But that also, I mean, I think we're going to see a good May and probably a really good June. But I think we might level off here for a couple weeks right now. The market demand index is only up 1%. We're up to 12.5 from 12.43. Still way, way above the norm, way above where we've been. We're almost starting to approach record levels when it comes to freight volume. And I'm not talking about just records for this year. I'm talking about records for the decade. We're actually coming close to the highs that we were seeing in 2004. Now, I read a lot of reports and I read a lot of analysts, and everybody is saying the same thing. Everybody's kind of sitting back, scratching their head, thinking, where is this coming from? And I think everybody's a little nervous about it because if you don't understand why it's happening, then you wonder how long it's going to last. And I'm kind of feeling the same way. I don't know where this is coming from or how long it's going to last. I guess we should take advantage of it while we can. But it's pretty interesting because it caught everybody by surprise. As far as rates, we're climbing slowly. Overall rates were up 3% last week. I'm going to give you the rates first from Internet Truck Stop spot market rates, and then I'll go through TransCore's spot market rates as well. Up 3% to $1.80 from $1.75 last week. Flatbed rates are up 2% to $1.68. Specialized rates are up 8% to $2.14. Van rates are up 2% to $1.57. Reefer rates actually dropped a little bit. They're down 1% to $1.79. They were $1.81 last week. Most people expect, most of the analysts expect, that we will see demand flatten a little bit. I think we're going to stay at this level, and then we may see volume begin to build probably late May and June. Now, that's just a prediction, and with the way things have been going, who knows? But if we look at normal trends, we should level off right here for the next couple weeks, maybe actually a month. We might see 3 or 4 weeks fairly level. The end of May, expect it to pick up with the end of month volume, and then June being the end of the quarter, expect June to be pretty strong. We'll see what happens. Here are some numbers from what's going on. These are from TransCores. The first numbers I gave you are from Internet Truck Stop, the Market Demand Index, and the Market Demand Newsletter. And this is from TransCore System. Week over week, the Spot Market Load Index is up 3.3%. Pretty big jump for a week. If we look at the month, March over February, March was up 45% over February. If we look at year, March 2010 over March 2009, the overall spot market load index is up 299%. And like I say, some of the reports are showing that we are approaching some of the highs we set in 2004. I've got about 10 reports in front of me. I've been reading reports for the last couple of days. Analysts, industry analysts, fleet executives, everybody trying to figure out what's going on and predicting what might happen. And I think this really took a lot of people by surprise, but everybody is saying that this capacity crunch that we've been talking about, you know, the whole time during the downturn, even though things were way down, people were saying, when this comes back, when the freight comes back, we are going to have a real capacity problem. We're going to be hearing that term driver shortage again and truck shortage again. And now everybody kind of agrees, it's here. It's already here. Right? So let me know, are you seeing it on the street? Most of the people that I talk to are saying yes, that there's plenty of work, plenty of freight. Rates are starting to climb. They've got better negotiation power. The other thing that was interesting, one of the reports that I was reading was a survey of fleets. And fleets have said that they are not going to run out and add capacity. They're not going out and buying trucks. They are going to kind of buckle down and use all the capacity they've got and maximize capacity and profit. They're not going to run out and try to buy trucks to fill this capacity for a lot of reasons. One, nobody's really sure where it's coming from and how long it's going to last. Two, another big one, they don't want the 2010 technology. It's hard for fleets to buy used trucks. So fleets really buy new, and they don't want to spend $120,000 a piece on the new 2010 trucks. That's a good sign, because if fleets aren't going to fill that capacity, they, you know, when you ask the fleets, if you're not going to buy trucks to fill this capacity, what are you going to do? And for most of them, the answer was, we're going to maximize what we've got, and then we're going to use owner-operators. That's a good thing. That's good for us. Whether you're going to lease to a carrier, should be plenty of work and more demand for you, or if you're going to do it on your own, or if you're already on your own with your own authority, that's a good sign, because if the big carriers aren't going to add capacity to cover this, means there's going to be a lot of opportunity. And if that holds out, it means that rates should go up even more than they have been. So everything that I'm reading right now is good news. If we look, some of these numbers are just amazing. If we look at the flatbed load to truck ratio, week over week, we're just this week again, we're up 7.8% in the flatbed load to truck ratio. That's a huge jump. Month over month, March over February, 76% up in flatbed. And year over year, 961%. The index is 961% higher than it was in March of last year. That's flatbed. Dry van up 1.3% week over week, up 25% month over month, up 352% year over year. Reefer load to truck. Actually, reefer week over week is down 2.9%. Month to month, it's up 32%, and year over year, it's up 373%. So it looks like, if we break it down by segment, that the reefer has kind of flattened out first. Van is really, you know, we climbed a little bit, but it's kind of flat, and flatbed still seems to be growing. So that kind of gives you an idea of what's going on. If we look at fuel prices over that same time period, fuel prices are up 2% week over week, 4% month over month, 37% year over year. So part of the increase we're seeing in rates is really fuel surcharge causing rates to go up, which either way, I'm okay with. We can still make more money either way. So a lot going on in the industry, a lot going on here. But what I'm going to do is get to some of your phone calls. I've only got a couple questions on the line. So if you've got something, by all means, jump in. Let's see where we're going to start tonight. Let's go to Pennsylvania and start with Dale. Dale, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey there.
I got a question about rates. How do you figure out rates on LTL loads?
That's definitely a little more difficult, but it also gives us a lot more flexibility. One of the things you can always do is talk to, do you have some potential shippers that you're looking at?
Yes, the guy I'm leased with now, he does do some LTL freights, LTL loads. But if I went on my own, go ahead.
One of the best ways that when I got into having my own authority and moving my own freight, I was in a good situation, or I felt like I was anyway. I was an owner operator, leased to a carrier, but I was doing P&D work in a local area. So I was doing anywhere from 15 to 25 stops a day, pickup and delivery. And one of the things that I would do is every dock that I was on, I would just walk around and look at all the shipments, and I would ask the people in the traffic department what was paying what. You know, you've got three skids over here. They're going from Cleveland to Baltimore. What are you guys paying to move this? Sometimes freight bills would be right on the stuff, and you could see it. So that's a great place to do research is the shippers and receivers you're in. If you can start to develop a relationship, ask them about that kind of stuff. I've found most people are willing to share it. You could start calling the LTL carriers and, you know, call them with a shipment. You know, make up an imaginary shipment, call them and get a quote from them on what they're charging to move, that kind of stuff. It's not published the way spot market rates are. Like if I belong to, you know, any of the load boards, I can see some rates. I can call on those. I can check on rates like that. It's a little tougher to find LTL rates, but those are two ways to do it. Ask at the shipper and receiver and call the LTL companies and get a quote from them.
Okay, I was kind of going on a, if I was to take that load to an area, if it was a full load, and then kind of base it out with making a little bit more profit, being you're doing a little bit more extra with it. Would that be a good way of doing it?
Well, if I heard that the way I think you explained it, you want to charge a truckload rate plus some?
No. Figure a truckload rate, and then say they only have 5 pallets, and you can haul 24 pallets. Divide them that load so that you would, if you had the 25 pallets, you'd be getting the full rate, and then divide off the others. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you're saying, let's say we could haul 20 pallets just to make the math easy. If you're going to go in and you're going to get 5 pallets, you're going to set the rate at 20% of truckload, and then you're going to add a little on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably not going to work real well. I mean, you can start there. As much as we'd like to set our own rates, and I know a lot of people talk about you should know your own cost, and then you figure your cost, and you add the profit that you want to make, and that's your rate. Well, that's wonderful, except what if that doesn't work in the real world? You know, so, yes, we do need to know our own cost, but we also need to know that we're selling freight in a real world, and other people are trying to get that same freight. So we have to be competitive. So we need to see what the market is charging. That's where we start, and I kind of go about this the other way. If I'm considering moving LTL freight, the first thing I need to go do is see what is LTL freight paying today in the real world. So that's where I'm going to talk to shippers. I'm going to call LTL companies and get quotes, and I'm going to find some of these averages. And then I'm going to look and see if I can afford to do that based on my cost. Can I afford to go move that freight at today's prevailing rate? Because I can't go into a shipper and say, I figured out my cost and I need to charge you X to move this if everybody else is doing it for 75% less. Why would they move it with me?
Right. No, I understand that. But if you could get a load in that area going and paying at the same rate and then go from there. Like coming off of the East Coast, you got to figure you're going to get about $1 a mile. And then you'd want a little bit extra for the extra work on it.
Well, here's the other thing we have to think of and where we could fall short with that formula. We have to be careful. If we're taking 5 pallets as a percentage of the whole truck, well, that would assume that we're able to fill the whole truck. Because if we can't, we can't afford to move the 5 pallets for 20% of a truckload.
Okay, that's good.
We need to, you know, if we're going to say, look, we were going to get $1 a mile for 5 pallets, we're only going to charge 20 cents a mile. Well, that's not going to work. Unless I get the whole truck full and I've got the additional, because yes, LTL should pay better because we have scheduling issues and work issues and all kinds of other things. So I think you're going to find that if you go out and find out what LTL rates are first, that's going to help you put together some rates of your own. But keep in mind that LTL companies don't move the 5 pallets. They build a shipment out of those 5 pallets and they fill trailers as much as they possibly can. I can't afford to move just 5 pallets. I mean, you can in expediting and a couple other exceptions. But most of the time, if I'm going to move LTL, and this is the tough part about LTL, this is the challenge, I need to build those shipments. Hold on one second. I think we lost you for a second.
No,
Taylor's...
I'm here.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, back.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah, I had one dispatcher and she was very good at it, and she always talked about starting out with a header, and then we'd build on a header after that.
Yeah, and what that means is we book one shipment that we hope will cover our cost. We're probably not going to make a profit if that was the only one we moved, but we covered our cost, Now, we know we can afford to move the truck with that one. Everything else after that becomes pure profit.
Okay.
And that's a pretty common strategy when we're building LTL as a smaller carrier, that we'd love to have that header. Now we know we've got our cost covered. Everything else we sell after that's going to be pure profit. But we can't price it so that we're going to just have one of those shipments on the truck. I mean, it's usually going to take at least three. I mean, two or three minimum, you know, in order to make this worthwhile.
Right. All right. Yep, that helped me out. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. If you want to join us, we've got a couple people on with questions. Press 1. Oh, actually, we've got more than I thought. Where'd they all come from? All right, let's see. I'm going to start at the top so I can stay organized here. Let's go to New Mexico. Derek, welcome to the program.
Hey, yeah, okay. I wouldn't pull LTL unless I was a flatbedder, but that's another story. Anyways, I'm one of that 300% vans. You know, 2009 was my worst year ever. I only did 120,000 in the truck. I've already done half that this year, so it's working out
Wow.
pretty good. Yeah,
good.
I know. I'm running Chicago to Virginia to California, back to Chicago, just round and round and around. Keep
Excellent.
Me busy, running my ears off. But the question I have, I've already got my compressor froze up with my air conditioner. I've already got a new one sitting at the house in Virginia. As soon as I get back, I'm heading to California right now, unfortunately, with no air conditioning. But I have no heat at all, either. It's a Cat C15 06 model, Acer. And does that belt run the heater core, too?
No. Shouldn't have anything to do.
Yeah, it was
have anything
last
to do
night.
With the do you have the, let me think of what could, are you, all of your oil and water temperatures running normal?
Oh, yeah, I run about 175, 180 degrees on the water, 175 degrees on the water. Oil's 200 degrees like it always is.
On that truck, do you possibly have the valves that you can shut the water off to the heater core?
No.
Okay, so that can't be it.
I'm thinking it might be something in the panel itself to turn the heat on.
That's what
because
it sounds
I,
like.
I,
if we, you know, if
yeah,
you can check
and that little bell, that's it.
Check the flow in the heater core itself. If you can feel heat in the heater core, then
okay.
What you're going to be looking for is something in the control panel that it's going to be more electrical or controls, not engine and coolant flow.
Okay. Yeah, it's happened at the same time though. That's what's weird. It didn't actually break my compressor belt. It broke my serpentine belt. And when I went into the shop, I said, "Oh, you know, I got a froze up compressor. I know that, but why did it break my serpentine belt?" They said that the other belt jumped over and snapped the serpentine. So,
well, yeah, that's kind of odd too. Yeah,
I know.
That's kind of odd too.
Guy that, so.
Unless there's something I'm not thinking about on a C15, I'm just not real familiar with that engine. Unless there's something I'm not thinking about, I don't think these two are connected.
And could you also put a call into New Mexico to tell them to turn down the wind? I got a headwind that's about 40 right in my face. And
turn around and go the other
mom.
Way. Yeah, well, turn around and go the other way. You'll get
I
better
can't.
Fuel
mileage. I got to go to L.A.? I can't. All right, thanks a lot.
All right, well, I'll put in an order and see if we can get that wind to change direction, but you'll get better fuel mileage
yeah.
going the other way.
Oh, no,
all right.
Really?
Yeah.
Bye.
All right, let's see, who else do we have on here? Uh-oh, actually, I think I've been turn it. There we go. We've got a lot of people on the line. If you're listening online, though, and you want to join us, we've upgraded our phone systems. we've got a lot more people or a lot more phone lines available now. So if you want to join us and you're listening online, want to join us on the phone, it's 347-884-8327. If you're on the call and you've got a question, press 1. Lisa will get right to you. I'm going to just work in my way straight down the list here so I don't get confused. Let's go to Indiana. Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How are you this evening?
Doing good. What's on your mind? Yes.
Hey, I've got a 02 Freightliner Columbia. I've had got new tires all the way around it, and I had it on the ProTrack alignment here a few weeks ago. And it seems I run 54 mile an hour everywhere I go, okay? And when I'm running 54 mile an hour, it seems like I'm chasing the front end around. And, like, if I drop off a hill and it speeds up to 65 or so, it seems like it straightens out. What do you think the issue might be?
Well, that's any time we get wandering, where a truck wants to kind of follow the different tracks in the road, it's typically toe out. Yeah. So
right.
they didn't get that on the, when they checked it with the ProTrack system, they didn't see that?
No, which I was kind of wondering, is there a different toe setting if, like, you're running a truck at 55 and then another guy gets in it and wants to run it at 65?
No. Now, we still set slightly toe in so that the force of the road brings us back to straight. You know, there's
right.
always a little bit of play.
Right.
And that's the whole, that's kind of the whole concept behind the way ProTrack does it. They do it with the wheels on the ground, and you set the toe slightly in so that with that little bit of play and the force going down the road, we end up straight. And not, you know, towed in either direction. So who did
right,
it? Which shop was it?
It's an older shop, but they haven't had the ProTrack system, probably about a year, I guess. It's a little shop over in Corbin, Kentucky.
You know what I would do is I would call MD Alignment directly, kind of give them your settings off your report and tell them what's going on, and they can probably help you with it. But it sounds to me like it's still toe out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the reason I figured it was a toe issue, but I was thinking, well, the reason we've set it as a toe in is to do the forces, you know, when we're going down the road. You know, I know there'd have to be a different force at 55 than there would be at 65, so I didn't know if maybe it was maybe set up to be a 65-mile-an-hour truck, you know.
Now the force that pushes the tires back to straight really happens in the slower speeds. And then when we've got a toe out condition, there are times where we'll go through this period of vibration as well. It kind of feels like almost an out of balance.
Yeah.
And we can overcome
that
by going faster.
Yep, that's right. That's exactly what it's doing.
Oh, well,
you know,
done.
Go ahead.
Yeah, here's what's possible. You know, in order to do the alignment properly, we're always trying to make up for all the accumulated wear in all the front end parts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they set it slightly toe in. Well, if you've got a lot of accumulated wear, they may have to go more toe in.
Okay. So it's probably not a wheel bearing issue or anything like it. It's probably in the toe.
It's probably in the toe because you've got that balance feel, that out of balance feel in that speed range, and you've got the wandering. It sounds to me like we didn't set it toe in enough. And that with the force of the road, it's still ending up toe out.
Okay. Is there any different alignment settings to run with super singles?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Everything's the same.
All right. That's goddamn. That's what I needed to know.
All right. Good talking to you. I would give MD Alignment a call directly and see what they've got to say. They might be able to figure it out. That sounds kind of like what we're dealing with on this one. Let's go to Kerry. He's in the chat room. Kerry, are you physically in the chat room, or are you actually in some other state somewhere? Uh-oh, hold on. I didn't get him. What is going on here? Let's try this one. Kerry?
Hello.
There you are. Yes.
All right. I'm physically sitting right in that submit box, right on the chat room. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing good tonight. How about you?
All right. I sat in on your webinar. Pretty good stuff.
Thank you. You know, I've been doing seminars for about 15 years, and I really like doing that kind of stuff. The webinar thing is still a little tough to me because there's no feedback. You can't see anybody. You can't see their faces. You don't know if they just fell asleep and fell off their chair because you're being too boring.
I can help you with that.
I'm still – yeah. How's that?
You got to imagine them with no underwear.
Yeah. I'm still getting used to the webinar thing. Sometimes I almost feel like I talk too fast or, you know, because I don't have that feedback. It's just like everything else takes practice.
Well, the slideshows, they help when you're talking real fast.
Yeah.
But I got four words for you.
Okay.
Arizona is right. I'm pretty mad at Jeb Bush, Judge Napolitano, Lindsey Graham, all them people that did not read that law. Because I read it. It does not doesn't tell people to profile. They have to have a legal excuse to pull them over. There's 10,000 deaths a year caused by illegal immigrants. Huey just told me not to forget about Mark Rubio. Man, but 10,000 deaths caused by illegal immigrants in this country. We went to war over 3,600.
You know, as far as not reading the law, you've got to add me to that list. Not only have I not read the law, we've got so much going on here that I haven't even – I mean, I know what's going on. I know what the law is and what the controversy is, but I'm not involved at all. I mean, we've been so busy with – I was getting ready for webinar. We're practicing all this week on the live show. We're practicing with our mobile equipment, kind of testing out the mobile equipment all this week. So I've been getting ready for that. We've just got a lot of stuff coming up. So I understand, you know, what's going on, but I haven't read the details and I haven't formed an opinion. You know, some of the people in that list, the one that jumps out at me, Judge Napolitano, I like him a lot. But you also have to remember that he is an extreme libertarian. I mean, he is really, really libertarian, anti-government, and he probably takes a stance that we should really, when it comes to immigration, lower a lot of our standards and allow more people to become legal immigrants. Now, the problem with that –
I can go for that too if we – if we allow them to come in through the front door, not through the back door like a thief. I don't have a problem with immigrants.
Right. And the other thing that you have to do with that is you have to cut off all the government support. You have to cut off all the government programs. You can't – we can let these people in the country because they're actually good for us. I mean, the number one resource any country can have is people. You know, you look around the world and countries with open borders and easy policies, even if they don't have other resources. You know, look at places like Hong Kong, where there is almost zero government interference on Hong Kong itself, on
that's
the island.
That's key right there.
And they have, right, they have almost no natural resources, but they have zero government intervention. You can open a business in a day. and they allow a lot of people in, and they have, you know, amazing economic results. Our problem is we can't let them in because we provide them with so much stuff from the government that you can't do that. So I think that's where some of these people are coming from. And Napolitano, I know that's exactly where he's coming from. He's saying, look, if we did this the way we should do it, which is we get the government out of everything, we drop all the entitlement programs, then we can let them in. And it would be a good thing. The problem, you can't do it backwards, though. You can't let them in while we have all those programs.
Yeah, it's busting us.
Right.
Our emergency rooms are full of people that are going there with the sniffles. You know, they get on HUD. I don't know. I don't understand how they can get on HUD not being citizens.
I don't understand how they get on. I don't understand how they get on any kind of program. It seems to me like the stories you hear of, you know, people born and raised here and absolutely legal, it sounds like, you know, they have a hard time. And, you know, you got to prove, you know, it's like the caller I had, you know, a couple weeks ago trying to renew his license in Florida. He said he almost couldn't get it done because he didn't have enough forms of identification. Well, if that's the case, how do illegal immigrants get anything?
Right. Well, they've got people like Sharpton and Jesse Jackson up to bat for them. You know, it's just, it's amazing. If you read that bill, just keep in mind that it's mimicking the federal law. The only thing it's doing is allowing Arizona to ask the question after they're pulled over for an illegal act. You know.
Right.
There might be some police out there in Arizona that might use a taillight to do this. But I'd like to know if Judge Napolitano was against the DUI checkpoints. You know, I could be running.
My guess would be that he is.
Okay. Well, I can see his point then. But, you know, the federal government has dropped the ball so hard on this illegal immigrant that Arizona has to do something. What is that, the state that the rancher was killed on his own property by an illegal?
I believe so. And you're right. The feds have dropped the ball on this, and the states that are on the border have paid such a huge price. I think that, you know, unless the feds change a lot of things, that the states on the border need to do this.
Yeah. You know,
all right,
I was just going to let you know your mic's open, so jump in.
The thing about Napolitano that really set me off was not that he was against it, but the comments that he made about it, just like the comments everybody else makes, just revealed that he didn't know what was in it. The leftists get on the air and tell all these lies about it, and these so-called conservatives and libertarians make their comments based on the lies that somebody else is told, and they're not talking about the law as it's written.
See, those are the kind of things that I'm not aware of. I haven't been watching the news. I haven't been reading, so I don't know who's been saying what.
Well,
but in my defense,
Collins has been, go ahead.
In my defense of not being prepared, this is Wednesday night, isn't it?
It is, and probably some of your listeners tonight are probably not wanting to hear politics.
We had a discussion about that, Kevin. Is this a Wednesday free-for-all, or is this Wednesday questions from the road?
Well, this was kind of a free-for-all tonight just because I had to get ready for the webinar, and I have to get ready to test the other equipment. So I thought, you know, we missed a show last week, and I figured I'd just open it up for a free-for-all. So anything goes.
Okay. Well, it was a good conversation. I'm going to be working hard on this. I've already got 650 signatures from my local chapter of the Tea Party, and we're going to be introducing this in Indiana too. It is 100% constitutional. If it's unconstitutional, so is the federal law that's been enacted since the 60s. So
I agree. I just need to be better prepared and aware before I make too many comments on it. But I have a feeling I'm going to come, once I read it, I'm going to come to the same conclusion.
But, well, Kevin, the thing about you is, maybe you haven't read the bill, but you have not been making public statements about the bill as though you have read it. And that's where I'm having a problem with some of these other guys.
Right. Right. Yeah, I try to avoid commenting on things that I don't know what I'm talking about, or I at least, you know, don't know enough that I can form a reasonable opinion. And really, this is one. I haven't read it. I haven't been following the news. I don't know any of the details, so I'm going to refrain from making any comments that might make me look stupid later.
Here's another interesting tidbit. Arizona has been sued 12 times over their immigration laws that they've enacted, and they've won 12 times. So they know how to write it.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. I think so.
All right, I'm out of here. Have a good evening, Kevin.
All right, good talking to you. Oh, you're out of here too. All right. So let me try to get back to my list here because I have all kinds of calls. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on, big guy?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I just want to touch on the topic because I know we don't have too much time there, and some people may want to talk before the end of the show. But you mentioned about the freight picking up.
Yes.
And about the availability of drivers.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately for us, I think the freight is going to pick up big time. I also know with absolute certainty that the Qualcomm individuals who put the computers in our trucks have finished with their system. So it's going to enable freight to move faster than you ever could imagine. The bottom line is, can we keep up with the freight? And how many of us are going to maintain our jobs while trying to do so? Because as you already know, and as I've already stated many times before, this is not old school anymore. We got a lot of avenues out there that we're going to cross that is going to put us in trouble, like cameras on the highway. When you go into the weigh scale, they are communicating with other weigh scales to find out, you know, are you really where you were supposed to be at? You know, your laws, are they really up to date, because now we have the electronic logging system. So the freight is going to pick up good, but I'm going to tell you something else is going to pick up. There are going to be so many drivers, so much hiring now that you're going to see a revolving door beyond belief, because drivers are not going to be able to keep their jobs, because their job is to push the freight, and when you gain too many points, it's the next person's turn. So that
well,
is
two
my
things
take
will happen
on
there. Let me jump in right there a sec. Two things I think are going to happen. You're absolutely right. With CSA 2010 and everything else, we're going to have more drivers disqualified. And the higher the demand goes, which we can see it happening already, the more we get the other phenomenon, which is a guy with a clean record, the first time he gets upset when there's this huge demand and he knows he can leave his current carrier and get another job tomorrow, they start doing it. And that's where we create a lot of turnover as well. So we're going to have guys disqualified. We're going to have guys jumping carriers again. And I think we're going to be back to where we were in the mid-2000s, where it's normal to have 130% turnover, which is just insane.
Well, I just believe that if the drivers do not wake up now and see what the heck is about to happen, that we're going to be in for something that we wouldn't bargain for. And the bottom line is that the new system, I want the drivers to pay attention really close. A lot of guys are using the electronic logbook, and they think it's the best thing in the world because, you know, I can actually log real time now. If it only took me 8 minutes to fuel up my truck, well, it only shows 8 minutes. Well, I tell you what, that Line 5, I got a lot of problems with, too. And in case, I mean, some of these guys know what Line 5 is. That's a new line on the law book that you're supposed to put on there. And I want them to ask themselves this question. If they have an accident, when they go to Line 5 because they're trying to find somewhere, you know, because they're trying to appease the shippers and receivers by drivers not complaining the fact that they ran out of hours, now we have this wonderful Line 5 that we can go to now. And when you hit those streets and there's an accident, someone can run into their vehicle. if they're not supposed to be on that road at the time of their loss that says that they were supposed to be off duty on a 10-hour break and an accident occurred, I want to know if the law is going to be merciful with us when that happens. Or are we going to still go to the court? Yes, go ahead.
I don't think it's going to be. I think when you look at what happens in court, any time that the attorneys that are suing to get $1 million out of the carrier, they're going to push the fact that you weren't supposed to be driving at that time, whether the system allows for it or not.
Can I say this, Kevin? Ding, 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 ding,
yeah.
Ding, ding. That is absolutely correct. And the bottom line is that if we don't continue to fall for all this hoobah that they are throwing out and all this great, wonderful things that this here supposed Qualcomm is supposed to do for us, they didn't create this Qualcomm to help drivers be professionals. They created this Qualcomm because who paid for it? Companies. So they created the Qualcomm to help companies push freight. It's just that simple.
Yeah, Qualcomm is for customers.
Absolutely. And the bottom line is that when I'm going to get my freight, they're tracking the freight. If you're late with that freight, because whatever reason, if you're late and it's on you, I want to see how well that electronic law book is going to help the drivers when it comes to a situation that they couldn't control, but they really couldn't communicate with it because they didn't know what's going to happen. Now, I know that don't make sense. The only thing I can say that is that I examined the Qualcomm system. I know how the system works, and regardless of what anybody thinks about me, the bottom line is that the Qualcomm is only a rat trap that once you get into it and they get everybody sold on it, I want to ask you a question, Kevin, and I'm going to end it at this here. You cater to a bunch of owner-operators. The bottom line of what's about to happen now is that they're going to compare that Qualcomm that major companies are using for company drivers against those of owner-operators. And my question is real simple. When owner-operators cannot come up with the numbers that the Qualcomm system will be able to do, where are they going to be at then? Because they're going to be still expected to follow the laws, the rules, and regulations, whether you're an owner-operator, you have your own authority, or you're a lease purchase guy. It doesn't matter.
I agree. I think we all need to get prepared for it. There's a lot of things going on. On the other hand, there's a lot of opportunity available. If we lose drivers, if we lose owner-operators, if we lose carriers to CSA 2010, or we lose them to high prices, and there's a lot of freight demand, there's a lot of opportunity. So we just need to do the things I've always talked about. We need to keep a clean record. We need to keep our costs down. We need to look for those opportunities and take advantage of them. I mean, we can either approach this as it's a very negative thing or that it's going to create a lot of opportunity. And I think for the short term, I'm not going to try to make any long-term predictions in an economy like this because I'm not sure where this freight's coming from, and I'm not sure how long it's going to last, but we might as well take advantage of it while we can. Let's go north of the border this time. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mr. Rutherford. Good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind tonight?
Went down to the truck show there a couple weeks ago in Toronto. Had a real good time there. Lots of nice trucks. They even had the guys from the French Trucking Channel there, but none of your guys were there.
No. It's all we can do to make it to the three big truck shows here anymore. And I'll tell you what, we've got Las Vegas coming up next. And if I could find a way out of it, I mean, I'm kind of obligated to go because of a couple of my sponsors, but if I could find a way out of it, I wouldn't even go to Las Vegas this year.
Yeah, I was actually surprised how many of your sponsors weren't at the show. Like the only one I saw at the show that, you know, you hear of on XM was Right Way Scales. They were up there, but it was a good show.
Yeah,
a lot of nice new stuff in there. But
hey, you know what? What I'd actually like to do. I mean, I would like to just say, you know what? I'm going to go to one of those shows just as a participant. The problem with going as a vendor is it's just so much work and so much money, and you don't get to enjoy the show.
Yeah, no, I've worked a couple of the shows, and, you know, you get stuck at the booth, you don't get to see it. But I go to see them all, but they had their mobile transmitter there. They were podcasting from there, and they're actually trying to get some more Canadian content onto the French side, but in English, so that'll be interesting.
Okay.
I do listen to another show other than yours. Have you ever heard of America's Car Show on Stars 2?
No, I haven't.
It's mostly towards cars and car maintenance and that, but the they do a lot of truckers call in with stuff too. But a couple of Sundays, they're on Sunday night from 10 to midnight, I think it is. They had a guy on there named Dan Watson, and he has a website, thelubepage.com. He's an oil lubrication specialist, and he was excellent to listen to. Absolutely excellent. As he closed out the show, he made a comment to the host about wanting to do a show with oil and the big trucks.
Huh.
Be somebody definitely, I think, would be really good either on your maybe on your Friday night trends and techs show.
The only issue I had with him.
His website is thelubepage.com.
Okay.
Now, he is an AMSOIL dealer, and he does push the AMSOIL a little bit, but he's a certified specialist, engineering degree in it, I think, and the information he was coming out with on the synthetics and everything was absolutely phenomenal. I think you'd really have a good talk with him. He's almost like a Bruce there from Pittsburgh, Phil. As Bruce is to engines, this guy was to oil.
Yeah, you know, and I'm looking at the – I don't know what a certified lubrication specialist is. You know, I'd like to know who issues that because, you know, I certify people as master contractors, but, you know, what does that really mean? So I don't know who issues that certification or what the qualifications are. I'll get a hold of the guy. The AMSOIL thing kind of bothers me a little bit. I'm not a big fan of AMSOIL.
That bothered me a bit too. But he didn't really push it that much. He did mention it with stuff, but his actual information on oil and what's happening with oil was really, really good.
Yeah, and I love to talk to people like that because if I can learn just one thing from somebody, and there is a lot going on with oil. I mean, we're seeing a lot of changes in what's going on with engines and how the oils are handling it.
Yeah, this guy was on top of the ball with everything. But a quick question for you. We got a set of Goodyear G360 steer tires on my tractor. I've been having major vibration problems. They put the powder in them. The company's running the powder. They changed the front rims a couple of weeks ago, didn't get rid of the problem. They're actually going to they're going to junk these tires. They're only about 6 months on them, but they're going to take them off and throw on a set of Michelins back on, see if it gets rid of the vibration. But you keep talking about, you know, checking the hub pilot with the credit card.
Right.
Now, on the front steer, where do I find that hub pilot? Is it on the inside or the outside of the rim? Because I was talking to the mechanic tonight, and he's looking at it on the outside of the rim. Not saying they're on the inside?
I don't even know what.
Yeah, like
you know where the very small center of the rim. You know where if you had to clear glass, you would be able to check the oil level.
Yeah.
That small center right there, the center of the rim, is where the hub pilots are. So you'll see three within that circle, within the little circle. You'll see three kind of tab-looking things.
Okay, that's what I thought they were.
Yeah, and 9 times out of 10, you'll be able to you won't be able to get a credit card into two of them, or your license or a business card, but the third one, the card will slide right in, and will be the pilot that was down when they mounted the wheel. And it rests on the two top pilots, and that's where it gets off center.
Yeah, and I am off center. Then I thought I'd heard you say they were on the inside of the rim, and I just wanted to check that. What do you think of the powder, though? I'm not impressed with it.
You know, I used it for years, and I liked it. I mean, if everything else was right, like if I kept things centered, if I used a good tire, and I used equal. I think there was equal and there was balance were the two products that I remember. I used Equal, and it worked really well for me. I never had my tires spun balanced because I always have mine mounted on the yard. I've got a mobile tire guy, so I would use Equal. The problem for me with it was it just got to be too expensive because I was taking steer tires and running them for 50 or 60,000 miles and moving them back to my drives. And every time you break down or rotate tires, you got to put more Equal back in. And it was like, I don't know, it was like $9 a packet back then. I'm sure it's more now. So it worked. I liked the way it worked. I just didn't like the cost after a while.
Yeah, I just haven't had good luck with these steers at all. So I'm just kind of hoping when they're going to take them off, throw on a set of Michelins back on. Hopefully that'll get rid of the problem.
Do you guys, did they do their own tire mounting?
No, we have a guy come in to do it. Cal Tire comes in and does all our tire stuff.
You know, the best way to solve that off-center problem is with the True Balance. But if it's a company and they don't want to spend the money, they could buy the tool from True Balance that will do it, and then they have it for their whole fleet. And it's a centering sleeve that you put the sleeves up there, you mount the tire, you pull the tool out, and then you finish mounting the tire so that you don't have to buy the sleeves for every truck in the fleet. That's one option. If they won't even do that, there's another way to get this centered better. And the way is you put the tires up and you snug down the lug nuts and you have somebody apply the brakes. And the brakes, the pads, will push the drum and everything to a centered position, and then you tighten the lug nuts down.
Well, maybe if I can get in there while the tire guy is changing it there, we'll see what we can do with it.
Hey, I appreciate it, Kevin. You help yourself.
All right.
Yep.
Good talking to you. Let's see. I'm down to about 3 minutes, and I don't think I have anybody else on hold that I didn't get to. Lisa, did I get to everybody? Looks like I probably did. Lisa's not talking to me anyway. Let me bring her on the air and see if she's paying attention. Lisa?
I'm not paying attention.
Well, you're supposed to pay attention. It's your job.
What is my job? I think you did get everybody, my friend.
All right. All right. Well, we're down to about 2 minutes anyway, so I want to thank everybody for joining me. Be sure to tune in to the live show on Sirius and XM coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll be testing our mobile equipment tonight and all this week, actually, tonight, tomorrow, and Friday night. And if things go well, maybe I can convince them to let me test it this weekend on the long show. Really, what we're doing is just trying to work out the bugs on a piece of equipment that would allow us to do our show from just about anywhere with an internet connection with almost no setup time. So it will allow us to go out and do shows on location, go to our sponsors and spend a couple days. You know, I could spend a couple days at Pittsburgh Power in the garage, at Fitzgerald in the garage, down at Fleet Air Filters working on new ideas. And we'd be able to do our show from wherever we are. But I want to make sure that the equipment works right and we get all the bugs worked out of it before we attempt that. So coming up in about 30 minutes, we will be testing that new equipment on the live show. So tune in and join us. Check out the website. It's letstruck.com. Thanks for joining me tonight. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.